Hello and welcome to the Stay at Homeschooling Mom podcast. My name is Ginny Supert. I'm here with my partner, my good buddy, Mary Ellen Barrett. We have a terrific guest today to talk about a wonderful Catholic college, which happens to be in beautiful New England. So you want to be there in the fall. But first, we'd like to thank our primary sponsor, Seton Home Study School. Seton has been providing Catholic books and materials to help parents homeschool their kids for over 40 years now. They're fully accredited, and they have graduates attend just about every college you can think of, including the Ivies and including military academies, and of course, including the college we're going to discuss a little bit today. Mm-hmm. Their record for helping parents is exemplary. Please check them out at www.setonhome.org. If you're interested in enrolling your kids, there's a little sort of introduction that you can click on. And if you go through the video, they'll give you a little code that you can use to save a couple of bucks, which is always very nice. Now, Mary Ellen, would you like to introduce our guest today?
I am delighted to do so. Happens to be somebody I've met before and know. His name is Michael Yost. He's a senior admissions officer at Thomas More College of Liberal Arts, which is in Merrimack, New Hampshire. It is absolutely beautiful. He graduated from there in 2018. He's the proud dad of three beautiful children and his lovely wife he met at college, which is very exciting. Thomas More College of Liberal Arts was founded to provide a solid education in the liberal arts, a Catholic education for students of all faiths united in the quest for what is true, good, and beautiful. It pursues this mission by seeking wisdom and sharing it joyfully with the world. And I have to say, in full disclosure here, I have a daughter who graduated from there, and the college absolutely does all of those things. I'm so pleased that she went there. It was a beautiful experience for her and for the whole family, actually. We got to kind of experience a little bit of it alongside of her. So I'm very partial to the college, you're going to see. So it's very dear to me. What makes it a unique experience from other colleges, Michael?
Well, it's a great question. And thank you for having me on, Mary. It's been just to point out that, your daughter was also in my class. So yes. We've met each other through that. And TMC has impacted my family as well. God willing, I hope to send my children there one day. And also my younger sister is here right now as a sophomore. She's in Rome on our Rome semester at this very moment.
Oh, poor thing. She has to suffer through that.
Eating pasta, walking in
the garden. Oh, my word.
We're going to get into that.
Life is tough, but she's willing to take one for the team, huh?
Exactly. She's a brave girl. So what makes us different from other colleges? Well, the first thing I would say is that the kind of education that Thomas More seeks to share with the world is one that most colleges today aren't interested in actually giving. So most colleges today, conventional colleges, are simply trying to give people training rather than education. So they are instructing them in certain things, but more often than not, those kinds of things are for the sake of something else, right? So they're learning engineering so that they can be an engineer. They're learning psychology so that they can be a psychologist or dentistry or whatever it is. Whereas at Thomas More, what we are trying to do is study the liberal arts, those things which free man and elevate him, free him from ignorance, in the case of a Christian education, also from sin, and those things that help him to become what he is meant to be by God, a fully rational, knowledgeable creature, capable of understanding himself and his maker, as well as the world around him. So just in general, we're just by virtue of being a school that actually educates people, or unique, is a shocking thing to say in the country that, used to have, that still has, in a debased form, places like, Harvard or, William Mary College, where I believe it's Russell Kirk went there or something like that. But anyway, we used to have in America a grand tradition of education, of humanist and broad education, and that no longer exists except in places like Thomas More. So that would be my answer to that question.
It's a great answer. And it's absolutely true. And I think that some people get a little put off by that idea of it's a liberal arts education and I'm not studying a specific thing. But I have to tell you, having had somebody who graduated from there and has a very excellent career, has done very well for herself. And people were incredibly impressed by her diploma and her list of accomplishments at Thomas More that, oh, wow, you've read all of these things. You know all of these things. She said that was actually never a hindrance in applying for jobs and things like that. People were fascinated by it. And the fact that she can write really well and read deeply and thoughtfully and converse well were all assets to her. So if something like that is holding you back from applying to a Thomas More, please don't let it, because it worked out perfectly for Katie, my Katie. So it's unique in that way that it teaches you how to think, I think, instead of just spoon feeding things in and getting things spitting out. Am I right
in
that? Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And that comes down not only in the curriculum, because, you know, a curriculum is basically a book list. You know, mm-hmm. Anyone can access a book list if they want. But an education in the sense that the college is trying to provide it is something that happens in community with people, mm-hmm. Specifically with your peers, people who are learning alongside you, and then also the professors, the people who have, to a higher degree than you do, the wisdom necessary to teach you. And at Thomas More, what we do is we have a conversation-based classroom style. So it's not quite Socratic, where the students are almost the only ones who do the talking. And it's not lecture-based, where the professor is, as you say, kind of spoon-feeding the kids. He might be spoon-feeding them very good stuff, but, you know, still, when you're lecturing, you're not as engaged with the matter at hand per se, and you're not doing the thinking for yourself necessarily. Right. We try to weave a sort of middle path between those two extremes, where our professors are asking our students questions, very often difficult questions, that help spur the conversation and get things going in the classroom. But then they're also active guides, right, throughout the conversation. So instead of, you know, simply saying, well, here's a puzzler for you, what is the notion of justice that's presented in one of Plato's dialogues, and then letting the students flounder for an hour and a half, they actually guide them through it, sort of more like Virgil guiding Dante up mm-hmm. through hell and purgatory into paradise, obviously, rather than simply letting them go free. Yeah, and also, you know, to address the earlier point you were making, it is no hindrance, as far as I'm aware, to material success. And unlike those educations that at least claim that what they're going to get you is material success, not only do we get that for our students, for our graduates, but we also give them a rich inner life, an intellectual life that they can access for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't tell you how much the education of Thomas More has enriched my own life, not simply in the books I read, but the conversations I have, the way I live my day-to-day life, the decisions I've made. They've all been deeply informed by that education in one way or another. I would say one thing further, that what this education does is, instead of training someone in a highly specialized technical thing that they may or may not actually end up using at the end of their college career. I mean, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, I believe, has said something like, you know, people not only change their majors 3 to 4 times in their college career, but they also change careers several times after exiting college. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that that highly specialized degree that you've gotten is not actually going to be that useful in making money in the real world. Whereas a liberal education activates those potencies that are within you, not only to know and to understand, but also to act in knowledge and to act in understanding, to be a good communicator, to be intelligent, to be able to understand and process things rapidly and clearly, which is especially important in today's world, where so much of what we do is driven by data and information, rather than simply, you know, moving from point A to point B or doing a certain task. A lot of it is cerebral. So succeeding in today's job market a liberal arts education might actually be the magic bullet in some respects.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I'd like to move on to something a little bit practical now, though, too, because we are a podcast that's sort of devoted to homeschooling moms. I've had both private school and homeschool graduates. I have 12 kids. I had a lot of kids. My daughters were enrolled at Seton, the homeschool kids. And the process to getting them into college was really identical to my private school grads. you fill out the application. Seton has that little college, the little high school code that you put in there. Seton will send out a transcript. So I noticed no difference between my private school kids and my homeschooled kids. But a lot of homeschool moms don't do that. They have what they call a mom diploma. They just sort of get the kids enrolled in different courses, or they design the courses themselves. Online, you can sort of download the diploma, and they'll put in, you know, the junior took Algebra 1, the book was Saxon, and he got a 95 for the class or something like that. Do you have any advice for them? Like, is that a good idea? Does that hurt them? Does it help them?
Well, so I will say this. It helps to have as much validation from sources other than the parent about the student's intellect and their abilities as a student. So we receive what you call mom diplomas all the time. We receive all kinds of things. And they don't typically, they're not really a problem at all. I mean, they're so common, right? So many of our students come from homeschool backgrounds or people who have done mixes of homeschooling and private schooling. There's all sorts of different things that people do, especially after the pandemic. So we're used to getting all kinds of stuff, but I will say that having the grades that the parent or maybe the homeschool co-op has given the student backed up or supported by some kind of test. So
like the SAT or the ACT or something like that?
Yeah, or the CLT, for which we have a scholarship, by the way. So if you take the CLT, you get $1,000 renewable every 4 years in a scholarship. For every year that you go to college, you get $1,000, I should say. That's important. The CLT is a great one, but the SAT and the ACT do just as well. And, you know, so that helps us to at least say, well, you know, little Johnny has A's and B's throughout all of their high school career. Is this
reflected in their SAT score?
Is this reflected in the SAT score? And that's what we want to see. So
look at extracurriculars. Little Johnny was an Eagle Scout, for example, or a bunch of my kids did Appalachian Service Project. They went to Appalachian, they built homes over the summer. Or other kids are like, a couple of my kids were advanced ice skaters, advanced dancers, that sort of thing. Do you look at that?
Absolutely, yeah. Especially at a place like Thomas More, where, you know, there are tons of colleges where if you apply, all you need to do really to apply is enter in your name and your standardized test scores. And then it's like, oh, you've won a big scholarship to come here automatically. And you haven't even been accepted yet. At Thomas More, we are concerned very deeply with you as a person and how you're going to fit into our college. We are a smaller college. And what that means is that every person has an effect. Every person is known and understood and actually a part of the dynamic, the life of the community, of the college. So yeah, extracurriculars matter pretty immensely. They can, you know, even help if someone is, you know, someone who's like a B student, for example, but they look as if they are the kind of person who has grit and determination and can do hard work, even if, you know, they might not be able to necessarily get A's in every single class. We're going to think that's valuable. And we're going to use it in balance with other kinds of data to make a determination about your acceptance. So that can be very helpful.
It's a very kind of whole person approach to accepting somebody. It's not just about one thing or another. It's about the whole student and how they fit in, right?
Absolutely. And I should also say that, you know, we are, again, such a highly specific place that once people have entered into our little corner of the world enough to actually apply in the first place, most of them are already more or less the kind of person we're looking for. So we don't have a lot of people with horrible grades, but who do a lot of sports or whatever. We have a lot of people who are already kind of interested in living an intellectual life, even if they haven't done it fully, or people who have had a taste of a proper education at another high school institution of some kind. So we can afford, in a way, to look at those extracurriculars just because the pool of people we're looking at, the pool of people who actually apply, are already of such a high quality, in my experience, that we're sorting between not good and bad students, but between students who are okay to good and students who are excellent. And we really want those kids. So,
yeah. So they're sort of pre-qualified.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
One of Katie's, the big attractions for Thomas More, there were many, but one of them was the Rome semester, which I know is kind of a cornerstone of the whole education experience at Thomas More. Can you tell us a little bit about the Rome semester and why it's such an integral part of the TMC experience?
Absolutely, yeah. So the Rome semester is an integral part of the TMC experience because it's been an integral part of the experience of Western civilization over the course of the past 2,000 odd years.
And I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. And Rome goes back even further than Christianity. So, you know, we're not just talking about the development of Catholic culture throughout the Middle Ages and beyond. And, you know, obviously the early church, but we're also talking about, you know, the intersection between, you know, Greek philosophy and Roman ability to organize conquest and make laws that then Christianity conquers through, you know, love and sacrifice. And that becomes the dynamic for a whole culture for several hundred years. So, you know, that's why Rome is important. We put it in the middle of our curriculum, basically. So right when they're studying the Renaissance, so prior to the Reformation, in their humanities sequence, they go off to Rome. And during that time, they read Dante, so they read the Divine Comedy, along with some classical Roman texts. Like, I mean, they read the Aeneid. They also read some poems about Rome by, you know, various poets who have experienced Rome. Among them is Richard Wilbur, who's a big deal at Thomas More, insofar as poetry is a big deal anywhere. So basically the Rome semester is this kind of experiential moment in the center of the whole curriculum that is also a transitional point. So if you're moving through your freshman and sophomore year, you're doing a lot of experiencing of things. So before you're studying theology, before you're studying philosophy, you're doing Euclid, where you're actually doing the propositions of Euclid on a board in front of the class. You're learning Latin. You're learning a language. It's a very experiential thing, not just a cerebral mind game. You're reading scripture all the way through. You're studying poetry. You're studying literature. You're moving from the Greeks all the way to the Renaissance, and you're just about to hit the Reformation when you go to Rome. And Rome is kind of the culmination of that experiential mode of learning, where you are not simply sitting in a classroom in Rome. You are using the whole city as your classroom. You're wandering around. You are being led by guides who have lived in Rome, obviously teachers of the college, people who are in our employ, who live in Rome, who know it very well, and who can lead you through the crypts, you know, the ruins, the pagan temples, not to mention the restaurants and churches, and tell you where everything is and what it means. And experiencing Rome is experiencing in miniature the course of Western civilization. You can kind of see it like layers in a cake, because you can see one ruin on top of another on top of another.
If you go to the Scavi underneath St. Peter's, I don't know if you've ever been there, but absolutely, for those people that don't know, it's the coolest thing to do. So you have St. Peter's. St. Peter's was built on top of an earlier basilica, also St. Peter's, which was built on top of where St. Peter, the original St. Peter had been buried. And underneath that is an old Roman cemetery.
Yes. My sister, actually, who's in Rome now, sent a postcard to my family a while back. And she said, I never thought I would be so surrounded by dead people. But she meant that in a positive way.
Yeah.
In a way, entering into a tradition means listening to those who have gone before, to the dead, in a sense. They are what we know. They are the foundation that we stand on. And Rome is a kind of encapsulation of that. But then after Rome, once you're done experiencing things, as it were, you move on into the abstract, ethereal territory of philosophy and theology to gain a kind of higher wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that can only be done, really, after you've had a certain amount of experience of the world. You move from experience to abstraction. And it's an abstraction that you know the causes of things. So that's why Rome is in there. And that's why it's right before the junior and senior year. So
trying to get them ready for it. Well, yeah. This is great. I think, though, we mentioned before the Seton Home Study School is our primary sponsor, but we do have other sponsors that we are very, very grateful for on the podcast. So we're just going to take a real short minute to listen to a message from one of them.
Choose the best answer. A, Seton Testing provides tests and test preparation materials for homeschoolers. B, Seton Testing offers many different tests, including online tests, diagnostic tests in reading and math, and standardized testing for end-of-year proof of progress for homeschoolers. C, Seton Testing provides quick and accurate results. Or D, all of the above. If you answer D, then perhaps you already know that Seton Testing has been providing testing services to homeschooling families at affordable prices for more than 40 years. To see how Seton Testing can serve your family, see our website at setontesting.com. Good news, if you are currently enrolled with Seton Home Study School, then you will receive a discount on standardized testing. See setontesting.com for details.
Hello and welcome back. My name is Mary Ellen Barrett, and we are talking to Michael Yost, who is the Senior Admissions Director at Thomas More College of Liberal Arts in Merrimack, New Hampshire. He has been telling us so many wonderful things about this little jewel of a college where my daughter went. She made lifelong friends there. They are wonderful people. I know sometimes we as moms get really nervous about sending our children away to a place where maybe the environment is not so wholesome. And my experience with Thomas More was, it was just so wonderful to have what was a safe place where her faith was going to be protected and enhanced. And she wasn't going to be exposed to anything that was going to damage her faith. And the exact opposite happened. So it's a college that I am very, very fond of, and I encourage people to look at. But we're going to talk a little bit about something quite sordid, money, because that is also, it's a fact of life, especially for those of us who have larger families, paying for, you know, writing a check. It wasn't in the cards for us. I know, Jenny, your kids had to be very creative about it too. Can you offer parents any guidance about the whole financial aid process? I know Thomas More is a college partner with Seton Home Study School. There is an essay every year that the kids who are graduating from Seton can write, and we will give them $1,000 toward their college of choice, one of the Newman Guy colleges. And very often somebody wins one who's going to Thomas More. So we're excited to be able to help people with that. But what other opportunities do people have to kind of lessen the cost or make it more affordable?
Great question. Yeah. So first thing I would say is everyone should go to our website. There's a complete list of scholarships there. And some of them may apply to you, some may not, but I do recommend that everyone who is interested in the answer to this question look at that. Mm-hmm. I'll just start off by saying that the primary means by which financial aid is given to people is through the St. Francis Scholarship. Now, the St. Francis Scholarship is how we give our need-based financial aid, which for most people is the majority of their financial aid. So, you know, you can go onto the college website and you can see a tuition listed there. And with tuition and food and housing plus fees, the whole education for the 24-25 academic year comes out to $41,400. Now, that is not what the majority of people pay, largely due to this need-based financial aid model that we provide. And what happens, people fill out the FAFSA, and that tells us a lot of information about the family and where they are financially. And then it also lets us know what their need is so that we can provide a generous portion of that need. And it is based on need, right? So not everyone is going to get exactly the same thing from that scholarship. Mm-hmm. Some people may get a lot, some people may get a little less. But it is an honest attempt by the college to provide this kind of education to as many people as possible, especially to those people who may not be able to afford it otherwise. So that's something, that's the main thing I would say about financial aid.
Are there any opportunities for work study?
We do, yes. So a lot of our students work on campus, and we do about double the minimum wage in New Hampshire. And there's actually no upper limit to the hours that students can work. So They can work, you know, they could work 40 hours a week if they wanted to. Most students don't do that, of course, because they have other things to do, like study. But they can do work study in a variety of different departments at the college. They can do buildings and grounds. They can work in the kitchens. They can help clean the various buildings. They can work in the library as librarians. They can help in the chapel. I think, I'm not sure if being a sacristan is a paid or a volunteer job, but that's something I see a lot of students doing. They can also work for me in the admissions office, which is a lot of fun. Lots of spreadsheets to be filled out, lots of calls to be made. And that's a lot of our work study positions. We also let students stay over the summer and do buildings and grounds work. There's a lot of maintenance that goes on in the summer. And we also hire students to be our counselors for the summer programs. So, you know, all year round, we have lots of things we're doing at the college and we need help doing them. So a lot of students make a little extra money that way. One thing I would add, though, is that we are on a very rural campus in a kind of urban area. So if you ever come to Thomas More College, you can see it is a kind of enclave. It's surrounded by trees. You can't really see the roads around you very well. But you're inside this beautiful campus. You step outside and you are pretty close to Nashua. You're pretty close to Manchester. You're pretty close to Concord. These are developed cities that, you know, that provide a lot of employment for people. So lots of students who don't want to work on the college campus go off and get jobs elsewhere.
You can get a job at the grocery store passing groceries over the scanner sort of thing.
Yeah, people work at there are several restaurants nearby that are often hiring. So there's a lot of opportunities to make a little money on the side.
And I just like to point this one out. I think working in college is so important. I know a fellow who's an engineer. He went to a school of engineering for like a career day for the graduating students. And they show up in shorts and flip-flops. Hmm. The girls have like the little belly button shirts on. They don't have their, resumes. They don't have a resume printed out. To me, it's horrifying. So I think a big part of, I went back to work after 26 years. I raised my kids and I went back to work. A big part of why I did fine after I went back to work is I knew to show up on time, to be appropriately dressed, to do the job that people are paying me to do, stay off my blessed phone, which is a huge problem now in the workplace. So the fact that these kids do have opportunities to work, I presume one of the jobs you were talking about in admissions is when people show up, a student gives them a tour of the campus.
Mm-hmm.
What a great job that is for a kid, because they have to be, they have to be knowledgeable about the campus. They have to know how to present themselves to parents. It's sort of a sales job.
It is in many ways. I like to think of it as being about discernment as well as sales. I think it's great for students of Thomas More to be able to know their own education and know the institution well enough to be able to give a guided tour to a random stranger who shows up.
Yep.
But working in admissions also gives them the opportunity to, learn a lot of office skills and also to be a great communicator. So our students who are admissions interns also end up hosting visitors oftentimes in their dorms, sitting with them at lunch and asking them questions. So a lot of basic social skills that are also applicable in the workforce can be learned just by being on campus.
I think that's absolutely great.
Yeah.
They have they have a culture there for that kind of thing. People are polite. People are well-spoken. People dress nicely, even for class. I don't know if it's a stated dress code, but I know that when I've been there and visited, the girls are generally dressed in skirts or nice dress pants and, sweaters, and the boys are always looking very kind of neat. It looks like you're looking at a 1960s college classroom where everybody dressed nicely to go to school. My experience at Thomas More was that everybody kind of dresses nicely and knows how to behave appropriately. I think that's one of the advantages to these devoutly Catholic colleges, is that the culture just encourages that kind of behavior, like proper, nice, courteous, thoughtful behavior. Not is everybody like that? I'm sure not. There's cranky people everywhere. But I think by and large, the culture is like that, which as a mom, I found to be very comforting. Also, the fact that it was absolutely separate dorms. There were no co-ed dorms. you know, I think that that encourages people to try to live a, you know, a virtuous life.
I think these days we're thrilled if they don't have co-ed locker rooms.
We don't have those either.
So I presume you did not, if you don't have co-ed dorms. But people who are sort of sitting home in their homeschool bubble and they're happy, then they get to these state schools or something, and they find out, holy mackerel, what's going on?
Yeah, it's terrible.
My favorite story was a girl, I'm not kidding, they assigned the freshmen to dorms, and you kind of have to take your dorm mate because they felt strongly that you have to learn to get along with a diverse group of people. This is, by the way, 20 years ago. She was placed with a vampire. The girl thought she was a vampire and actually had like sharpened her teeth so that they had points on them. And and she fixed something on her bed. So she wasn't hanging upside down, but she was like, her feet were higher than her head because that's how bats sleep. I mean, the girl clearly had issues, to put it mildly. And the mom went to the college and said, you know, how do I know she doesn't bite my daughter in the neck while she's looking for something? I don't think people realize how bad some of these college, I don't know what you want to call them, environments are. I think some of our kids can do real well. I remember my one daughter went to a state school, and Halloween, all the girls, the freshmen, were walking around like naughty nurses and sort of, you know, really inappropriate costumes. And she and her friend dressed up like leprechauns. Went around and gave out candy. But you have to be countercultural, and not every kid has that.
Yeah, and it's an unnatural burden to have to push against the majority of the people who you live with for 4 years. Yeah. You know, that's not how human communities are meant to be.
That's a real good point.
Yeah. So I would say, you know, there's a lot of value. I mean, if you think that you can find a good education and a good group of people at a college you like, by all means, go to that place. But there are plenty of colleges that are actually making the effort to do what colleges are supposed to do and to be the kind of places that colleges are supposed to be. So support those places by sending your kids there. You know, don't throw your money into the vast sink of some already over-endowed trash fire of an institution. When you can.
And they could find a great spouse, by the way. Can I throw that one in? You found your spouse there. And I think that's one of the big pluses of these Newman Guide schools. Is not only will your kids' faith and morals be protected, but they're going to meet lots of other really nice, faithful, moral kids.
Yeah, for spouses and for friends. Just to have lifelong friends who support you and who, you know, when they go visit each other, Katie's friends are spread out a bit, but they go to mass. You know, they go to the baptisms of all the babies and the weddings and all that kind of stuff, and they're very supportive of each other. But also, when she goes to Washington to see her friend Sandy, she goes to mass. They go to mass together. And I just think that's nice. You know, they're older now and they could choose not to do that. And if they weren't getting that support, maybe during college, they would have lost their faith. But it's great that you can send them somewhere. I think it's worth whatever you have to go through in some cases to get your kids to the kind of college where they're going to be supported in their faith, and it's going to increase, and they're going to become so knowledgeable about it. It's wonderful. She came home from school and had me reading Confessions, which I had never read before. I'm like, really?
Augustine's?
She's like, no, you have to read it. And she had notes and she's asking me questions. I'm like, oh, the tables have turned.
Well, it's homeschooling. She was schooling your mom.
She did. I hadn't read it and she was right. I should have. And I did.
And I would just say, too, that, you know, I mean, in the modern world, we often hear that maturity for young people is being pushed farther and farther along in life.
Oh, yeah.
So people think, oh, my child is 15, 16, 17. They're more or less an adult. That's not true. I mean, so for many people, mature habits of thought, mature habits of worship, and just social behavior is still being formed. And I don't want to make people think that Thomas More is some kind of reform school where you can like put in a kid and magically a bow tie wearing academic who goes to mass five times a day comes out at the end. But there is something to be said for the fact that we take very seriously the habitual formation of our students in their spiritual life, in their social life, in their work life. So we actually also offer some career guidance services on campus where we help match our students up with various internships so that, you know.
That was going to be my next question.
Yeah, so that the skills they learn at here can actually be applied in a practical way to something they're interested in, something that they want to make money with. Yeah, so there you go.
That's great. Like I said, Thomas More is a college partner with Seton Home Study School, and there will be, if you are a Seton mom, you'll get the magazine article sometime in the next year. We'll have an article featuring them, and they are on our website. But I encourage you to check out their website, which is thomasmorecollege.edu. Is that right? Did I get that right, Michael? thomasmorecollege.edu. Okay, and we will link all of that stuff in the show notes. I want to thank you very much for spending this time with us to tell everybody about Thomas More. Like I said at the beginning, it's very dear to my heart, and I think it would suit a lot of people, homeschooling moms and homeschooling students in particular. So I want to thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Mary. It's a pleasure to be on.
This was terrific. Thank you. God bless you and your students.
Thank you.
Yeah, yes.
We'll keep you guys in our prayers.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And now we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Seton Home Study School. Seton Home Study School is a nationally accredited, faithfully Catholic, private distant learning school that serves students from pre-K through 12th grade. There are currently 17,000 homeschool students enrolled in Seton Home Study School and many, many more who use their books and materials, including several small Catholic schools. Since 1983, Seton Home Study School has faithfully served the homeschool community in the United States and all over the world. Please check out their website, SetonHome.org, for more information. And thank you, Seton Home Study School, for sponsoring the podcast, The Stay-at-Home Schooling Moms.